Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm so glad that when Paul was writing his letters, he did not know that they were holy writ. He did not know that they were going to be put into what we call the Bible today. Because if he knew, we would never have the 16th chapter of Romans. In fact, he would have edited out a lot of those personal remarks because, after all, people reading so many years later wouldn't know what he was talking about and would skip over them. Come on, you know you do it. If you're a reader of the Bible and you read all those tongue-twisting words, you just skip right over them. It's the same as in the Old Testament when we talk about this one begatting that one. We just tend to skip over it. I'm so glad that he did not know, because I can look over his shoulder now and I can see a glimpse of his family. Now, not his nuclear family. They would have certainly disowned him. Not only because he became a Christian, but probably more so that when he became a Christian, he became a wanted man. And anyone associated with him would have been in danger. So it's no wonder that we don't hear much about his mothers or his brothers or sisters. But he had a family. He had a Christian family, and we look over his shoulder. I have done a lot of looking over shoulders here in the last 7 years. I do that because so many are related. I have Hetty Heise, who is related to half the Moravian world. And whenever she speaks of her relatives, I feel like I'm peeking over her shoulder and listening to these wondrous stories of people not only present and past. I find out that there are cousins 2 and 3 times removed up here, and it seems like you're all related to each other. And I have no point of reference, so I look over your shoulder to hear about these wonderful people. And that's what we do today when we look over Paul's shoulder and we can read about his family, the family that Jesus gave to him when he came into faith. And it seemed that every place he went, he found new members of his family. And so it is today that every place we go, we can find members of our family. And I want to, since it's Mother's Day, I wanted to pick out 3 ladies from this long list. 2 of them were not moms, 1 of them was. And you'll see why 2 of them I know are not moms. They have names, but the one who was truly a mother did not have a name. That was Rufus's mom. Now, you'd think he would know the lady's name, but you all know, ladies, that who are mothers, that when somebody yells at mom, everybody turns around and looks, every mother in the group, because you lose your name when you become a mother. There are ladies from my son's elementary school, I never knew their first names. They were somebody's mother. But the first lady that I'd like to talk about was not a mom. Her name was Phoebe. I know she's not a mom because, first of all, he named her by name. She also had means to travel, which was unusual in those days. She is called a benefactor. Phoebe was the one who took the letter to the Romans from Paul. And Phoebe was a remarkable woman. It says that she was a deacon. Deacon means servant. This is the person that whenever somebody had a need in the church, they would call on Phoebe. Phoebe was the servant. I'm sure she put a crowbar in her wallet more than once when there was a need in the church. She was probably the one who showed up early for anything that was happening. And so when Brother Paul said, I need somebody to bring a letter to the Romans, she was the one who booked passage and said, Okay, I will go. And now she was going to a place she hadn't been before. But she knew that when she got there, because of Paul's letter, that they would receive her and she would be a part of another group of people. When people traveled in those days, they didn't go for a week. They had to go for months sometimes before they could get the money again to go back home. So she would need a place to stay, and that's why Paul mentioned her. And Phoebe, because of her servant attitude, became the bearer of this wonderful book that we have called Romans. Now, she knew it was a wonderful letter. I'm sure she read it before she got a booked passage to bring it to Rome. But she could not have imagined the impact of that one letter that she bore. It was St. Augustine who read Romans and was completely transformed because of that book. It was Martin Luther who, when he read the book of Romans, was completely transformed and began the Protestant Reformation. It's people throughout the ages that when they're down and out and when they think that God doesn't care, they read that book and they read these words, "What can separate us from the love of God?" She bore in her hands a book that would affect billions of people. Now, I can't say that if we imitate Phoebe, our lives are going to have that kind of impact. But I do know that when we are servants and when we give to others unselfishly, that those kinds of things can have an impact far beyond what we can experience. We need to be like Phoebe in the church family. There's calls for servanthood. And then there was another lady, Prissa. Now, Prissa we hear about in other areas of the Bible. Prissa and Aquila, her husband, were tent makers. Prissa, we think, was a lady of high birth. That's why her name is usually first. Usually in the Bible, you see that the men's name is first, but not in this case. And Prissa and Aquila were nomads, not out of choice, but because they had two strikes against them. The first strike was that they were Jewish. And in Rome, Jews were out of favor, so at one point they were thrown out of Rome. And so they traveled from place to place. The second strike against them were that they were Christians. So their own Jewish community didn't want them. And every place that Prissa landed, she established a church in her home. They didn't have buildings like this. So she decided that wherever she was going to pull the community together. And she nurtured and supported anyone who came through her doors. And what a lesson that is for us. Once we stop being church in this building, we need to be church at home. There's a need for people to see Jesus when they walk into our homes. My grandparents established church in their home. Now, they did have prayer meetings there, and they did help to build a church building, but everyone who came near them knew that Jesus lived there. And at that time, that was the early 1900s, women especially did not have the rights that they have today. And women in those communities were lucky if they had good husbands, but some did not. And the abuse was rampant. There were no women's shelters. There were no laws on the books to protect them. And so many of these women would come to be with my grandmother, and they'd make the excuse, it's laundry day, and my friend Serafina is going to help me with the laundry. So they would sit out with their laundry baskets, and as they're putting their clothes on the lines where no one would see, they'd sit behind on stools and pray with each other and support each other. Jesus was in that home. Prissa made sure that everywhere she went, in that vagabond life that was not of her choosing, that she established church in every home that she found herself. And then there was Rufus's mom, the mom that Paul couldn't remember her name because, you know, she was Rufus's mom. I'm sure he called her mom every time he saw her. And he says something very special of her. He says, "Greet her because she's been a mother to me." And so often in the church, we need a little TLC. Sometimes we come to the church after a week of really bad stuff, battered and bruised, and just need somebody to give us a hug and say it's okay. There's a place in God's family for mothering, and that doesn't just apply to the ladies in the church. For you see, men are capable of that too. When my son was a baby, there were three adults living in the house, my sister, myself, and my husband. And my mother was asking, was inquiring about her newest grandchild, and I don't know who had him, and she said to my sister, "I'm really concerned that that child's not going to know who his mother is." And my sister said, "Well, that's very simple, the one with the mustache." Meaning my husband. And he's the one upstairs with all the babies. You don't have to be a lady to be a nurturer. But in the church, in our family, we need people who will be the nurturing ones, who will be the kind ones, who'll give a little TLC. Life is hard enough. When you come into this place, we need people who are going to be happy to see us. Paul had a wonderful family, and so do we. Everywhere we go when we know Jesus, we have family. I have family in Nigeria. I have family in St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. I have family in the southern part of the United States. I have family in the northern part of the United States. Wherever I go, I know I have family. I have so many people that I can name brother and sister. And in that family, there are people like Phoebe, who whenever there's a need will say, "What do you need? I'll take care of it." There are people like Prissa, who whenever I walk into their home, I see Jesus. And there's people like Rufus' mom, who make me feel so good just to be in their presence. And I know there are people here in that church who are all three. Let us pray. Lord, we're so grateful for this family that has been brought together through your grace and your power. And I ask that all these brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers of mine would find their place in this family, would demonstrate your grace, your mercy, and your peace until journey's end. Amen.